On this week's show, a special episode, Shining Light on Robotics, with David Lincoln from Rosendin Electric. From groundbreaking innovations to industry-shaking updates, this is your Construction Technology News of the Week. Join us with our guest of the week as we dig into the latest news shaping the future of construction. All right, I'm excited. It's just two of us. It's another special episode. David, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing, Jeff?
You know, this is a really short turnaround. I'm really excited. Rarely does somebody call me where I'm like, all right, we're opening up a spot. We're opening up everything because this is like as cool as it comes. So I'm just excited, man.
Good.
I'm just going to get into the rest of it so that the listeners can dive into this with me. So listen, remember, guys, we're back on YouTube. Check us out at youtube.com/@ The Contech Crew. And if you don't follow The Contech Crew on LinkedIn, you're missing out because all the shorts are coming out through there these days and they're all over the place on social media. So make sure you follow us.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring The Contech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more.
All right, so we're going to leave them hanging on why we're having a special episode and what it all comes to. First, we want to learn a little bit more about you, David. So explain to the guests, kind of give them a background, a history of you.
Sure. I started in the electrical industry back in August of 1982 of Local 3 IBEW out of New York. Spent quite a few years in the field working as an electrician. And then over the years, the 40 plus years, I've taken on various roles of responsibility and led me to some executive level positions, if you will. And then, back in 2009, I landed at Rosendin and started the renewable energy group. So I've been in the business, as they say. I'm one of the OGs here in the electrical industry, and especially as it pertains to the renewable industry as well.
I mean, OG with a lot of experience. What are some of the lessons you learned about this industry on the way up that lends yourself to where we're going to take this thing?
You know, you're trying to surround yourself with smarter people, as they say, right? As you're moving up in the ranks and taking on larger and larger and more involved responsibilities, roles of responsibilities. But I could tell you, even at my age, you never stop learning. There is always something out there that you can learn. So that adage of you can't teach an old dog new tricks, BS on that, you can. That's one thing I can tell you. There is always something to learn out there, especially in this industry. And as quickly as it's evolving, as it pertains to every aspect of the construction industry as a whole, and primarily as it pertains to the electrical side of our business.
Yeah, so you've been in this for a long time. And so the construction industry takes a lot of heat for not being innovative, not changing, not transforming. And I've always said that's wrong, but I think that's no more evident than in the electrical side of things, right? The electrification of what we're seeing, like, I mean, would you consider, construction not innovative?
No, not at all. I mean, you can see right out of the gate, primarily everyone's trying to go prefab, right? Prefab, when you can prefab something in an environmentally controlled situation and then install it, you have a better quality of product that you're installing. You have, safety aspects of what you're installing. I know here at LAX, I mean, some of the terminals that we're building right now are all modular. They're being built on the other side of the airport and then being hauled across the other side, and it's almost like a plug and play. One of our companies, MPS, Modular Power Solutions, we build these giant skids for data centers that we build in an environmentally enclosed warehouse, and they're basically flying into the data centers and they're plug and play. So you're constantly evolving and trying to come up with a better means and methods for installations.
Yeah, I think it's a definitional issue, right? It's the means and methods, it's the complexity. I mean, not only are you talking about LAX and having it modular and being there and then moved in, that's an operating airport. It's not like LAX is going to shut down for a day just so you can slide something across the runway. Like, there is logistics and handling, and total other episode, but like, we've been talking about this a lot, like fabrication and offsite and modular. like, it's not going to work in the way maybe where it's all being done in a facility. I think we're going to see a lot of that move like that. Exactly. You're fabricating, but you're kind of on-site fabrication, but you're kind of like next to site because it reduces the transport and the logistics around it.
Oh, the transport, the waste alone, the labor savings that you have involved. I mean, there's a lot of pluses that go along with it for sure.
All right. Well, we could dive down that. Maybe we'll send some of the MPS folks over and get them to come on, because you jumped into renewable in 2009, you jumped over to Rosen in 2009 and now you're on the renewable side. Like, that's kind of a long time in renewables. What drew you to that side of the business?
Again, I mean, I'm a product of New York. I constantly have to be challenged. I don't like the status quo. If I get too comfortable, I start to get twitchy and I want to do something creative, something new, right? So when I was approached in 2009 to look at the renewable side, primarily solar, Rosen had already been doing some wind projects out there. I was like, this is perfect. I've heard it's up and coming. It's new. It's challenging. And that got me going. I mean, it was myself and four others that kind of started the solar side of it. And then we brought some of the wind folks into it. And then we just coined, Rosen Renewable Energy Group. And I just remember, the first year, I think we did as revenue, like maybe $6 million or something like that. And I remember when we did our first 1 megawatt size project, I mean, we were popping corks, right? We were like, we're at the big leagues now, we finally made it. But now we're doing projects that are in excess of, 800 megawatts on 15 square miles of land. I mean, it's crazy where we've, started at and where we are at today, and obviously just myself and four others, when we got going, we were wearing all kinds of different hats. Obviously we had to, so yeah,
that, and I mean, that's awesome. And the scale has just gone up, right? Which has probably brought a lot of challenges on, which is kind of like the point of why we're here, and the idea that you're always looking for a new idea. So yeah. What are some of the challenges that exist in moving from those 1 megawatt to 800 megawatt to the, at some point we're going to go gig, right? If you're going to say mega someday, you're going to have to say gig.
Yeah. You're going to say gig. Yeah. I mean, if you just think about it, I mean, just the logistics alone, the labor, the workforce that's out there, the timing of the projects are getting longer. They're going from a couple months to 12 months to 15, 18, some are even over 24 months long. And then you have to deal with the remote locations. As the projects get bigger, they're in the middle of nowhere, and you've got transmission distribution lines, and you've got all the substations that have to be built. So just the logistics alone, as you increase in the megawatt size to, like you said, getting close to a gigawatt now, I mean, all of that comes into consideration. The equipment alone, the long lead times that you're having to deal with, especially with transformers and gears and breakers and all of that, and the cable and the wire, there's a lot to it that you learn over the 15 plus years that we've been doing it. And we morphed from that small subcontractor working for someone to now being one of the top five large EPCs in the renewable industry.
And with that EPC came, an opportunity for you guys to kind of exhibit, I wouldn't call it control, but a little bit more influence over how things are getting done. And so talk about, what your idea was, why we're sitting down today. I know I got people on the edge of their seat. What's going on? What have y'all come up with over there?
Well, again, like I said, I like to be challenged. I'm known around here as the big picture thinker, right? And I'm not so much in the minutiae and in the weeds. I'm big picture, always looking out, always trying to innovate. And it was back in 2019, I was invited to take a tour of a PV module facility that was building the solar modules out. And during that tour, I noticed that they've had these robotic arms that had air knives and suction cups on them. And as the modules are being built, these robot arms are moving these panels, the modules around from location. And I said, well, that's pretty interesting. And I got back to my hotel room and I sketched on a piece of paper. And what I envisioned was like a mini excavator where we remove the backhoe part of that excavator and could we put a robotic arm on it? And then maybe have somebody drive that down the rows and install the modules that way. So I sketched it up on a napkin. I sent it to our R&D team here that was probably three people at that time. And they're like, well, it's never been done before, but you know, if you think it's something worthwhile, we'll chase it down and we'll see if we can find some people that might want to partner with us or have something along the way. So that's what we did. We wound up building something absolutely spectacular that is out there right now and working.
And so then you had that, everything has to have a name. So give it a name for us. What'd you guys name it?
Yeah, well, we came up with Artemis. So it's R-T-M-I-S. So robotic transitioning module installation system. So that's what we came up with. I won't lie, it was probably a couple bourbons in that when I came up with that name, but you know, doesn't hurt.
Hey, you got to fuel the creativity however you feel it. Some people are out there exercising and grabbing endorphins. Some of us are grabbing a bourbon at times. Some of us are doing a little bit of both, but that's how great ideas come to fruition. And now, yeah. So folks are listening and they hear robotics, they get a little skeptical. Talk about exactly how this thing's operating and, you know, how the teams are using it. Because, you know, at first when you mentioned it to me, I was like, oh, well, you know, what is it really doing? But now I understand the complexity of exactly what the function is.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, again, when we first looked at it and came up with the idea and put pen to paper and we found a company in Long Island to help us build the prototypes out. You know, when it was first introduced out onto a project to start running and looking at the installations of it, all that, you know, you've got some of these projects that we're working on, and you have anywhere from 600 to 1,000 people that are out there on the site working at any time. So when you see these robots come rolling off a 40-foot container, and it's basically a track-mounted electric diesel hybrid with a robotic arm and then two carriers that are autonomous following them that have the modules on them, you get a lot of people looking at this thing, right? Especially the electricians in the field are like, well, what is this? But, you know, I always I equate it to, like, you know, when we first started, you had a wrench in your hand and your hand tightening the nut down, right? And then we're like, okay, we got to get invader. Oh, let's use a socket and a ratchet. Well, that's quicker. Okay, and then you still have a torque wrench on it, right? Well, now we've evolved to where we have a torque gun that's already has the nut on it, I mean, the socket on and everything, and it's one shot, right? So we expedite it. So the intent had always been to have this this robot to kind of complement and enhance the workforce that was out there. And I can tell you, after the demonstrations, and we've got a bunch of electricians around and got them involved and they saw it, they were blown away by it. And obviously for us, we looked at how can we expedite the process and is there a labor savings? But I have to tell you what really came out of it was the safety benefits of it. Because when we have a couple hundred people out there in the field and all they're doing is installing these modules, which are roughly 4 foot by 8 foot, let's say, they weigh anywhere from 85 pounds to 100 pounds, and they're picking them up day in and day out in the heat, in the sun, all kinds of crazy weather. When we saw the safety side of what this robot is picking up these modules, where you've eliminated that side of it and the sprains and the strains and all that go away, everybody was happy and it became a win-win for everybody out there in the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I saw. And by the way, you guys can see the video. It'll be posted from here as well. It's really, really cool video, especially because it digs into those people talking about, like, what we love is it's safer and it's the part we didn't want to be doing, right? Lifting that 85 to 100 pounds is not only backbreaking and repetitive and can injure, it's also a delicate process. Those solar panels, those panels that are being installed are super delicate. And no person wants to break them, but at times it's a choice between breaking the body or breaking the thing. And well, we want the thing to break instead. Now we don't have to make that. And so what this robot is doing, track robot is doing, if I'm not mistaken, it's going down the line, grabbing from its own containers that are following it, right? So two hugely dangerous things, right? The grabbing and lifting in awkward spaces of solar panels and the carrying of those solar panels and operating those things. They're following each other and it's lifting and placing. And then the team does what they always did before. And they're hooking it all up. They're making sure it all works. They're following it. And you kind of understated it. They're in the sun. These are solar farms.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they are not in the sun, they're being placed poorly. So, right. These are the hottest, sunniest places that we can find. So inherently, that's what these folks are dealing with. So not only is it backbreaking, it's exhausting. And so you can only go so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unless you augment it.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we did. And so the quality and the QAQC process has just been, you know, through the roof, a lot better installation. You know, it's, I think there was a thing, never buy a car on a Monday or a Friday, whatever it was, you remember back then, right? Well, here it's like the quality of the installation is the same because the robot is actually doing all that heavy lifting work, placing it on the torque tube within a half inch of that torque tube, suction cups release. The tradespeople out there, they just grab it and they just slide it a little bit and lock it in place. So they're not picking up. So we don't have that tripping hazard. We've reduced the size of the crew down by half that are installing the modules now. You mentioned the breakage of the modules. I mean, if you're familiar with how these large utility scale solar farms go, the modules, the pallets of modules get spread out like every 50, 60 feet down a row. And you're having to take them off a truck, drive them down this very, you know, awkward terrain, place them and keep going. Well, here with the system we have in place, we have the micro laydown yards at the end of each row. So we're not laying these modules out. You've alleviated a significant, if not zero, breakage on the modules alone. You're picking them up, and as one carrier gets empty, the other one comes back, gets full, the robot's taken off that one, and vice versa. So they keep running. So these things will run basically 20 hours a day before they got to stop.
Well, and that's significant there because you hit on a couple of the breakage things and the laydowns and the terrain and dropping it off. Let's just go to, you know, however many times you touch a material, it adds a cost to it. And you've reduced the amount of touches to that material with the micro laydowns and the ability to not have to send people and lay those things down and schedule that out. Like, it also reduces complexity. Something people forget in lean is, you know, the first thing you want to do in lean is make it easier, right? Everybody thinks you want to make it faster. It's like, no, we want to make it easier. And this is making it easier, which is then increasing and decreasing your touches, which, by the way, makes you more productive. It's just a fact of the math itself, which is awesome. And when you're saying that, because this is where people get a little like, oh, you're going to replace all our jobs. First of all, you got tons of electricians, right? You're turning away every day. Yeah, tons of them, right? No problem recruiting at all.
Oh,
right? No. So you're reducing the crews in size on what they're doing on a certain one, but I'm guessing that means you have more crews deployed.
That's correct. It's correct. So again, it was never meant, nor will it ever be, replace the workforce. It's just adding another tool to enhance the workforce to help them out, because again, these large scale projects are in very remote locations and the labor workforce is a little tough to get. So if we can bring something else into the equation onto the project site, such as these robots to help out with the installation, I mean, it starts to add up the wins. And the next thing you know, you got a project where the duration of the schedule actually shrinked, and now I can start another project sooner. Right. And I can put people to work sooner. So, yeah, there's, you know, we tried to calculate as much as possible of the potential saving, not just from the labor, but also from the safety side of it. Right. I mean, the breakage of the module. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the benefits of having a robotic solution out there in the field.
Yeah, and it's not to mention, like, it's a fantastic marketing tool for Rosendin as well, and because there is such a push for the limited force that we have, that if you can offer them a better experience and more longevity in their careers, because let's be honest, that repetitive motion and the things that we forced people to do over the years out of necessity, not because we were like, oh, well, we just want you to do it. These robotics and things weren't available to us. They wore out. Now those electricians can have longer careers, which helps us keep, you know, the workforce that we need, helps us deliver. And if anybody thinks I'm being flippant, like, just think that every data center that's going in, every EV battery factory, every, you know, advanced manufacturing factory, you know what they do? They require power. We need more power today than we ever need. I heard yesterday on a call that it's 4% of the U.S. power is consumed by data centers. And that's expected to double in the next year.
Yeah, that's correct.
On a grid that's already completely taxed. Like, so, and renewables are the way. And so how do you do this? This is how you do it. And like you said, the terrain that you're in is wild. So I imagine when you built this thing, did you build a little basic one, or what kind of sucker did you build?
No, we went all in. I mean, we over-engineered this thing. We built ourselves a Rolls Royce, to say the least, right? And you know, when we first put it out on the field, we try to break it, right? That's what you want to do. And of course, we made tweaks here and there, and software tweaks, and just different modifications to it as we went along. And this thing is just super robust. All three components to it are. And you know, we use NEMA 4X stainless steel enclosures and compressor dryers, you name it, it's on it. It's a diesel hybrid electric unit that's out there. And, you know, we looked at what else can we use it for afterwards? You know, if it's got some downtime, can we use the carriers to pull along some ground penetrating radar and have them run a grid out there? So it's extremely robust, that's to say the least.
Well, and that's, I mean, I get to sit in this seat a lot and listen to a lot of the internal development groups that go through that process. And of course, if you're building it for your team and you're going to want to build that, you know, I like the Cadillac analogy, the Rolls Royce analogy, because it's comfortable. It works. It's not, I'm not building just a Ferrari to go quick. I'm building something that, you know, I want to spend my time with. But, and this is, it kind of leads into where you're going with it. And this is what I love about Rosendin and what you folks build and do, is that you could just hang on to it, right? You're top five ENR. I think you're top electrical in the country. You can do what you want to do, but you're not planning to keep this thing to yourselves.
No, we're not. It was never our intent. It had always been, once we've got something and we tried to break it and we fixed it and we got it and it's proven and it works, it was always been our intent to open it up to the industry as a whole. We would love to partner or find somebody who'd like to come on board and, for the lack of a better term, mass produce these and get them out into the market. I've shown the video of this thing working to our competitors. I've showed them to other companies that were developing their own robots. And I can tell you, I know two of them for a fact stopped developing their robots based on what they saw, because we were so far ahead of everyone else. So yeah, it was never our intent just to keep it for ourselves. We would love nothing better than somebody to come in, pick them up, mass produce them, put them in a rental pool, and then have other EPCs like ourselves out there go rent these things, if you will, or even buy them, whatever it is, and put them out there on the projects. We're going to need them. Everybody's going to need them. That's where we're going.
Yeah, everybody's going to need them, and there's so many uses for them. And, but you know, let's be honest. So part of this, to distill that down for everyone listening, and that's why we're here today, is to sort of get this out there, is, you know, David and the team are looking for partners to come in to help mass produce, because we're construction. We say this all the time. Like, we're great at building things, and when we build things for ourselves, we over-engineer. We're not here, unless we're in our fab shops, which is where we've learned a lot of this, is that, you know, we're not here to be manufacturers. So a manufacturer that specializes in manufacturing can look at this product and say, like, okay, I know why you did that, but hey, did you ever think about, we could do this, this, and this? It's going to get the same performance, but it's repeatable, it's cheaper, it's more readily available. And then, you know, the opportunity to take it out to scale. Because I can think of, you know, industrial EPC projects where they're actually building solar farms alongside of it. So do they need to own one? No, they're not building a solar farm, you know, they're not just chasing solar farm work all the time or renewable work all the time, but they've got a need for it.
Right.
And they're looking at this opportunity to say, yeah, this would be great. I can rent this thing from a United Rentals or whomever else is out there renting this equipment to move it forward, because we need, you know, Rosendin can build a lot, but you can't build everything we need, right?
That's right. That's right. And like I said, that's always our intent. And, you know, coming up here, I think on April 17th, we're going to have a big media day, if you will. And we have a project just outside of Abilene, Texas. And we've invited quite a few numbers of individuals from manufacturers to other developers to come out to the site and actually see it at work. Kick the tires, if you will.
Kick the tires, come check it out. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to get this thing out there and get out there. So it's April 17th in Abilene, Texas. You guys are going to be showing this off, media day. So all of my robotic friends and, you know, even some of you there, I know in Texas or in other places that want to see this, it's really important to me that not only the manufacturers, and I'm hoping, you know, a Caterpillar of the world or a John Deere of the world or somebody sees this opportunity in our world and comes and joins this. But I also think it's really important for our general contractors and our other players in the space to come see what's possible, right? That's the other thing about what you've done, David, is you took a walk through a manufacturing facility and a happenstance look at something and you ideated on it. Well, now you've brought it into an environment where it's a lot, it's really hard for people's minds to take something from a manufacturing facility and see it in a field, right? Well, now it's in the field. So now come, folks, and watch what's happening and say, how can I apply that to the problems that I have today and innovate?
Yeah, I mean, there might be solutions out there that this thing could be used for that we haven't thought about yet, right? And certainly we welcome that. And obviously, you know, like you mentioned, a Caterpillar, a John Deere, a JCB, or somebody like that would be interested. And even they come in and maybe they value engineer and bring the price point down or everything. And then they, like you said, they get, you know, involved with the United Rentals or Sunbelt and put this in a rental pool. And maybe eventually they have different attachments that can go on the robot arm and use it for other things. I mean, that would be awesome.
That's what I mean. I mean, that's the power of this is like, okay, first of all, we call that the artful use case, right? Okay. Somebody's going to rent this thing from United or Sunbelt or whoever's smart enough to pick it up. And they're going to be like, well, it's kind of used for this, but hey guys, I'm just going to let you know, we've been using it for this and it works.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, like we think if it had this attachment, we could do this entire job with it. And now all of a sudden that gets back. And this thing becomes iterative and moves. And it's, I mean, I watched it and it is fantastic and it is awesome. But it's also simple in its function and just sort of the process of what it's doing. It's not Atlas running around and doing flips and, you know, navigating this or that. It's a repetitive, difficult, dangerous job done simply. You know, simple's hard to do. And so that's why I think this is a powerful thing for folks to go check out. And so I want to say that again, and we'll share where the website is and where they can go. But it's April 17th in Abilene, Texas, to come take a look at Media Day. And hopefully, you know, some folks listening in can join in on you. What other thoughts do you have, you know, sort of leaving folks into the future? I don't think this is the end of your big thinking, big thoughts. And I'm looking forward to it. So what are you looking at in the industry and, you know, as a whole for next steps and areas to go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously everyone, AI, right? What can we do with that? It's evolving so quickly. Is there other ways, again, like I mentioned, you know, can we use a robot for something else or have we not even thought about it yet? What else can we do? So, yeah, there are some ideas that we're kicking around right now. And then, you know, if once we learn like the safety aspect of this, okay, is there something else that we can use again? But let's not think of it as time savings. Can we build something from a safety side of it first and then see the benefits of an installation from it, you know? Uh-huh. So we have some other things we're kicking around, but
I'm sure you do.
Save those for another podcast.
You can't let them all out right now. I know. Oh. I know. And this is where I'm interested. And I've said this for a long time, like where we are currently is at the precipice of the true ability to impact our productivity and augment our workforce as the robotics that we're seeing come along, but then the AI that we're seeing comes along that's interpretive and can understand environments more from a understands the wrong word because it connotates people thinking. It's calculating and it's consuming data and it's providing and looking for patterns that we might not see. So as this robot's going up and down this solar farm right now and doing its installations, as long as it's gathering the information and we're gathering the data from it, we're going to learn things. And like you said, we're eventually going to be able to bring other robotics and other artificial intelligence together to do things that are repetitive and dangerous and consistently lower quality due to those factors, not because the people are lower quality, but because you're talking about moving something that's that heavy with that much accuracy is very difficult to do for any human, but not for a robot.
Right. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. And you know, the benefits, I mean, I could tell you when we roll this thing onto a project site and people start to see what it does, you get other electricians that are out there and said, hey, raise your hand. Hey, can I work on that for the day or 2 days or the week or whatever? I'd like to learn how it works and all that. So you've got enthusiasm across the field and you're never going to take the place of the workforce. I mean, you never, ever will. Again, this thing is just a tool to help complement and enhance the workforce that's out there. So
yeah, right. Nobody got upset with that, with the ability to move things and go up to the point of where the torque's already set and everything's right in it already for you. And we need to look at these as extensions of that. And you hit something else that I didn't even think about. And I think this is where I want us to end it, is the other part about getting this out there now around those electricians is those electricians, when given time, are the most inventive people. So that's the other pieces, David. You got this to a point where it's out in the field. You had the vision that it was possible and the influence to make something happen. But it has iterated since you've done that.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on with that, because as the electrician's taking it and the robot sets it within a half inch and then the, you know, the suction cup's released, they grab it, they're looking at it and they're saying, hey, is there a way maybe we can add an adapter on there where once it sets the panel, this adapter comes out and automatically screws and locks the panel in place.
See?
There's a potential there. But this is getting driven by the workforce that's out in the field that is now coming up with these other ideas and solutions that it could be possibly used for. Another one was, hey, as this robot's moving down the row, well, we've got string wire that we have to pull down the road also. Well, is there an adapter that you can put on the robot that has the coil of cable, the string wire on it, that as it's moving down, it's the reel of cable is being unleashed. As the two-man crew on one side, they finish, they can grab that cable and strap it up. So now there's no go back with it or anything. So you're doing it all in one motion. So the field is generating some really good ideas, additives, if you will, to attach to the robot.
Well, and now everybody knows why I was so excited to have you on and talk about it. So, and I hope folks listening, or you pass this on to the other folks in your organization that might be near it, that can go check it out or can get in touch with David. David, tell everybody where they can get in touch with you, because it's been an awesome opportunity for me to meet you. And I hope there's a few out there in the world that want to meet you again too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, if you want to learn more about the robot, you can get on the Rosetten website and there's a code you can click on. It'll bring you right to that. If not, you can contact me directly at dlincoln@rosetten.com.
Awesome. Well, that's where you guys know how to get in touch with them. Though, don't worry, we'll be posting the YouTube videos. We'll be posting links to all this along with the show. David, it was a pleasure to meet you. I'm excited that you wanted to come on the show and talk about robots and the reality. And as always, I'm a huge fan of the Rosendin and the Rosendin team. As you know, we talked ahead. I've got like deep ties into the Rosendin group, and I'm excited that you guys chose me for the opportunity to release some of this information.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate the time.
And thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with David Lincoln. To read all our news stories, to learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.